8-inch fish. He scrabbled curiously with his wrinkled-up fingers at the glass side of the tank. Tiny, thick yellow bubbles loosed themselves from his mouth and nose, caught briefly in his swab of hair and strayed on upwards.
"Oh, Zarquan! Oh, heavens!" he mumbled pathetically to himself. "I've been found! I've been rescued!"
"Well," said one of the officials briskly, "you've been found, at least."
He strode over to the main computer bank in the middle of the chamber and started checking quickly through the ship's main monitor circuits for damage reports.
"The aorist rod chambers are intact," he said.
"Holy dingoes, doos!" snarled Zaphod. "There are aorist rods on board!"
Aorist rods were devices used in a now happily abandoned form of energy production. When the hunt for new sources of energy had at one point got particularly frantic, one bright young chap suddenly spotted that one place which had never used up all its available energy was the past. And with the sudden rush of blood to the head that such insights tend to induce, he invented a way of mining it that very same night. And within a year, huge tracts of the past were being drained of all their energy and simply wasting away. Those who claimed that the past should be left unspoilt were accused of indulging in an extremely expensive form of sentimentality. The past provided a very cheap, plentiful, and clean source of energy. There could always be a few natural past reserves set up if anyone wanted to pay for their upkeep, and as for the claim that draining the past impoverished the present, well, maybe it did, slightly. But the effects were immeasurable, and you really had to keep a sense of proportion. It was only when it was realized that the present really was being impoverished, and that the reason for it was that those selfish, plundering, wastrel bastards up in the future were doing exactly the same thing, that everyone realized that every single aorist rod and the terrible secret of how they were made would have to be utterly and forever destroyed. They claimed it was for the sake of their grandparents and grandchildren, but it was, of course, for the sake of their grandparents' grandchildren and their grandchildren's grandparents. The official from the Safety and Civil Reassurance Administration gave a dismissive shrug.
"They're perfectly safe," he said.
He glanced up at Zaphod and suddenly said with uncharacteristic frankness,
"There's worse than that on board. At least," he added, tapping at one of the computer screens, "I hope it's on board."
The other official rounded on him sharply.
"What the hell do you think you're saying?"
he snapped. The first shrugged again. He said,
"It doesn't matter. He can say what he likes. No one would believe him. It's why we chose to use him rather than anything official, isn't it? The more wild the story he tells, the more it'll sound like he's some hippie adventurer making it up. He can even say that we said this, and it'll make him sound like a paranoid."
He smiled pleasantly at Zaphod, who was seething in a suit full of